The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a loaded show coming up for you today, reacting to the bracket that has been released. It's almost NCAA tournament time coming up later this week, and we've got a lot to talk about it today as well. So we'll take your reaction all show long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lisa Byington coming up at 7:30. She will become the first woman to call play-by-play for an NCAA tournament game. So looking forward to that conversation coming up at 7:30. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock, and then Darren McFarland at 9 o'clock to get into the latest on the Nashville Predators as well. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing awesome, because, you know, yesterday is one of the greatest days in sports every year, and it'd been 2 years since we had one of those. So that was pretty cool. Pretty cool to actually have a bracket unveil, and it was actually awesome all weekend, too, to watch some. Like, that's the best SEC tournament I've seen. I swear, it's usually like boring Kentucky stuff. Yeah. I mean, every once in a while you have some great games. Kentucky-Tennessee a couple years ago, but start to finish, fantastic SEC tournament.
It was great. Ryan Porth, how are you?
Doing fantastic.
A kind of a, I don't know if I'd characterize it as a surprise run by your Bearcats to the final.
Oh, it was a surprise.
Didn't go well yesterday, but other than that,
yesterday was not. Yesterday was the only thing that wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
About Cincinnati's run.
They almost stole a bid.
Well, I don't know how close they truly got.
Well, they're one game.
They were 40 minutes away.
40 minutes.
Well, they lose by 40 yesterday.
They lost by a million yesterday, which was to be expected against Houston.
But hey, didn't expect them to get there.
This is true, and it has me more positive towards the 21-22 Bearcats.
There you go. That's all that matters.
So that's the silver lining there.
That is the silver lining.
Nice.
For sure. Well, Joe, you brought up the SEC tournament. I guess you basically spent all weekend at the SEC tournament.
I did. Elijah was there, too. He was loving it, man.
I bet he was.
Pig and slop. Elijah had a basketball tournament. He was tweeting every play that happened.
The resident college basketball experts here on the station, Joe Rex Road and Elijah Campbell. I agree with you. Like, I thought it was a great tournament. I went and watched the Tennessee Alabama game on Saturday. A great game. I mean, Tennessee had it in control for 35 minutes, and then it just all went away from them towards the end there. Just a great game, but kind of a choke job by Tennessee downstretch there.
Yeah, but you know, it's also you can call it a choke job. You can also, and I think we saw this with Alabama yesterday. I mean, they're a championship team.
They're good.
They've got a real feel for making clutch plays. Because the first 25 minutes of that game, I guess about that. Tennessee dominated.
Yeah.
I mean, just dominated the game. I do feel a lot better about Tennessee after the weekend. Even with that loss, and even with Fulkerson hurt. John Fulkerson, we're probably going to be right up to it until we find out if he's going to play Friday. Even with that, even if he can't play, I feel better about them. They found some things. I think Vescovi found some things. You know, a lot of guys I think are playing better. So you can take something away from that. But, yeah, they probably should have won that game. And I guess LSU could have easily won that game yesterday, too. They missed two at the rim. And Will Wade could have been cutting the nets down, man. That would have been fun.
Maybe with some FBI help. Had a couple agents come in, hand him some scissors, see what could have happened there. Yeah, they're close. I mean, the LSU team, and we've always known that they've had a lot of talent, obviously, with some of the recruiting that's going on there. But, yeah, I mean, they're a team that absolutely could be dangerous. Like, you know, I was listening to the broadcast. I guess it was in the Ole Miss game that they were playing. They were talking about, like, this is one of the most talented teams in the conference. They've just got to find a way to put it all together. And they did in this tournament, gave Alabama all they could handle yesterday. But Alabama ends up doing it again. I saw a tweet, and I can't remember exactly who it was from yesterday, that basically said we've allowed Nick Saban to become too powerful because now Alabama is all of a sudden this basketball powerhouse as well. SEC football champions, national football champions. Now SEC basketball regular season and tournament champions as well.
Like Nate Oates said yesterday, we're not football school, we're a championship school.
Yeah.
Also, Nate Oates looked like said, get the bleep out of here, LSU, as soon as that game ended. Oh, man. Nate Oates is a cocky dude.
Yeah.
And he's a good coach, too. So he's fun to have around the SEC. So you went to the game, Alabama-Tennessee?
I did not go.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I just watched.
I was going to say, because, I'd be interested to know what tickets were going for like the game like that, because both of those fan bases really showed out well this weekend. I'll tell you what, like, the noise in that place at times, I was like, there's no way that's just 3,400 people. Yeah. It was good. I mean, it was, especially when you contrast it to a year ago, which we talked about last week and all that, and just how just depressing and awful it was. It was the beginning of months of, you know, pandemic lockdown. I mean, it was cool a year later to have semi-normalcy and sports and fans, and now we got a bracket.
You brought up John Fulkerson a little bit earlier in the segment. I want to revisit that play against Florida because, to his credit, he has handled it very well since then, and he's come out with a video, and he's been very nice about all that. That was an incredibly dirty play by Omar Payne.
The fact
that, like, Eve Pons didn't come over there and totally destroy that guy, good on him, because I was just kind of thinking about my self-control in that moment. That could have been really rough, the start of something really bad in that game.
Well, for Eve Pons, though, that was like, whoa!
Yeah.
Look, I mean, because normally he has no emotion at all.
Right.
You know? So, like, if he gets even a little bit mad like that, you know something bad happened. Yeah, the second elbow there, just
brutal.
Just inexcusable, and obviously it caught him right around the eye, right around the, and so he had to have some kind of a procedure. You know, they're not really specifying, but you have a concussion and you have some kind of a fracture or something on the face too. So Rick Barnes and Fulkerson handled it with grace and class, and I agree with what Rick Barnes said the other day. He's like, look, in the heat of these things, you do something sometimes and then you regret it right afterward. And I don't doubt that. And Payne reached out, and good for Payne for reaching out to Fulkerson. And I don't think, you know, like Mike White had nothing to do with this.
No.
I mean, people are like, you know, going off on him, which is dumb. But Payne should be suspended. He
yes.
should be suspended, I would say, a game. I wouldn't have a problem with two. And I understand. This is where you always get to these situations, and someone will say, well, he should be suspended as long as Fulkerson's out. Like, how do you do that? Like, Omar, what if their tip-off's like 10 minutes before right. Tennessee's? Like,
well, hold on, Omar. On the court. You can go.
We can sub you in the second half if Fulkerson plays. No, I mean, you make a decision. The SEC has to do this, and they should do this. And I understand, hey, a conference doesn't necessarily want to, you know, make one of its teams shorthanded going into this tournament. It's important for the league that the teams do well, but you also had one of your other teams get penalized by this dirty play. So I hope to see him suspended a game at least here.
I would hope so too, and I who knows what it's going to look like for Fulkerson in this tournament. Like you said, I mean, it's a lot to be dealing with, concussion and a fracture of some kind, something going on in his face, and you know, this is a short turnaround going from an SEC tournament to a week later an NCAA tournament. Like, this is going to be very interesting depending on how deep of a run they can make to see what sort of role, if any, John Fulkerson's going to have in this.
Yeah, they need him. Now, I will say Juroš Plavšić all of a sudden becomes Mr. Secret Weapon this weekend. And honestly, he did enough that I was like, well, if they have to have some minutes at the five from him, they might be fine. I mean, it just depends on your matchup, too. I couldn't believe Plavšić was playing late Saturday. I think that was a mistake by Rick Barnes.
Yep.
Like especially on the offensive end when they needed to score. Like, Vaskovi should be out there as a shooter. And they had Plavšić out there. I didn't get that. I actually asked about it, and he didn't directly answer it. But I want to ask you this about this, because I've seen a lot of reaction from this from Vols fans on the Devontae Gaines thing.
Yeah.
He put in Devontae Gaines for Vaskovi to guard Herbert Jones. Anybody who watches Alabama or watches this tournament, Herbert Jones, he's become my new favorite player in college basketball from this weekend. He's freaking
pretty good.
Fantastic, and he just does everything. And they kept doing a ball screen to switch it and get Herbert Jones 6'7", 6'8", with Vaskovi on him, and it was a problem. So they put in Gaines, and he did exactly what he wanted to. But then he gets the rebound. He gets fouled. This guy hardly ever plays. He misses both free throws that could have put Tennessee ahead. Do you have a problem with that move or no?
No, I don't. I understand. Because of what you just brought up there, I understand exactly why they were doing it. And we've talked about this. I mean, Vaskovi, I think he's made some improvements defensively, but there are guys that can just overwhelm him. And we saw that happening on Saturday. So I get it. You've got a guy that's on the bench, and he's coming in cold, and the free throws that he's shooting are incredibly important in that game. And I think the moment sometimes can be too big when that happens. And I thought that's what happened. I thought the moment was too big. You missed the two free throws, and everybody looks at the coach and says, well, why are you bringing a guy that's been on the bench the entire time in cold from the game? But sometimes when the matchup is better defensively, like, what's the alternative? Just leaving Vaskovi on him and just getting torched?
Possession after possession? Yeah, or you don't switch on the ball screen and you give up an open three.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that was a good move. And that's, like, I'm with you. Like, I can't believe people are mad about that. How can you predict that he's going to get the rebound and get fouled?
Yeah.
Like, you needed a stop. You got to stop. He got you the stop. That was a good move. The bad move was Plavšić earlier, and then the last play for Vaskovi was not great.
No.
That was not exactly like some, you know, dry erase board wizardry from Rick Barnes. Vaskovi still should have pulled that last shot. He had enough room to get one off, but it wasn't great.
It wasn't great, but all in all, I think I agree with you. I think I feel a little bit better about Tennessee than I did before the weekend began. Look, I mean, we'll see. It's Tennessee and Fulkerson's loss. Obviously, it was a big loss, and they've got to find a way to be more consistent. But it did feel like, especially like I thought Keon Johnson in the first half, that's about as good as I've seen that guy play.
That's a lottery pick.
He was unbelievable.
Right. He's a lottery pick. Right. And those guys can go off on anyone. And I'll tell you what, they would have won this game if Josiah James wasn't in foul trouble. Because that was exactly the defensive matchup they needed. They needed him at the four and Pons at the five. And so if Fulkerson is out, I will say that even though I don't think Rick Barnes wants to do it as much as he'll have to, his best lineup is, in most matchups, especially defensively, is James at the four and Pons at the five, and then both freshmen and probably Vaskovi, unless Victor Bailey's hot. That's your winning time lineup. So that doesn't include Fulkerson. That said, I still think you need 20 to 25 minutes of Fulkerson against a good team. They might be playing, you know, Cade Cunningham in that second round, best player in the country.
And speaking of that, we'll look ahead to the NCAA tournament coming up and the bracket that was released yesterday. What sort of a chance do we give Tennessee? Can Alabama be a legitimate threat for a national title in the NCAA tournament? We'll discuss it all coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And today, almost like a national holiday for Joe Rex Road. One of the best sporting days of the year yesterday for him, Selection Sunday, taking place, the conference championships being finalized, and the tournament coming up later this week. Joe Rexrode, I knew just based on your Twitter yesterday that you were in your happy place. You were back in just a state of bliss. And now with the bracket being released, how do you feel about this? What did you think of the bracket? Any major surprises that happened in the seeding, in your opinion?
Well, actually, you know, the seeding seemed about what I expected. I guess if I had one surprise, it might be Oklahoma State, actually. Yeah. I think Oklahoma State got hosed a little bit here. I think most people thought they were a three. I saw some people talking two for Oklahoma State, which I think they would have had to have beaten Texas in the title game. But I think most people thought they were a solid three, so they get a four. I also thought that Alabama had a real case for a one over Michigan. And the reason is, and this sucks for Michigan, and I hope he plays, but Isaiah Livers has a quote-unquote stress injury. And for anybody who's watched Michigan, Isaiah Livers is very important. Senior, big athletic wing, very important on both ends of the floor. Hits big shots, guards a lot of different people. And right now, the fact you take his injury plus the fact that they lost to Ohio State, they lost last week to Michigan State, they're kind of dipping a little bit. Alabama, you know, wins its championship here with a couple really good wins over the weekend. I thought maybe they get the one, but basically, see, they're able to do the real S-curve this year. So, and the S-curve basically means you are pairing the lowest one with the highest two. So you knew Alabama and Michigan were going to be together one way or the other, and they are. And I like the Crimson Tide. My final four picks are already up on theathletic.com.
Oh, man. Oh, wasting no time.
Yeah, well, it was a staff thing. Like, get your picks in quick, everybody. So yes, Alabama, I'll tell you right now, I got them in the four. I'm a total Alabama homer. Drew Chester, hope you're listening. You know what? I may have disrespected Mac Jones, but Herb Jones is my
love
guy.
Love that guy. Big Nate Oates fan here on the program. Were you surprised Tennessee got a five seed? We talked about them maybe ending up somewhere around a six. Were you surprised that they got the five? And to your point, a tough matchup potentially in the second round. Look, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're not overlooking any game, so we'll see how they handle Oregon State. But you could potentially see Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State in the second round. Number one, what do you think of that? Number two, were you surprised that Tennessee made it up to a five seed?
A little bit, and the thing is, it kind of screws Tennessee.
Yeah, it kind of does.
You know, I mean,
good luck guarding that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of. Well, not just that though. You know, because if you get by that guy, I mean, if you're a six, you avoid the one until the Elite Eight.
Yeah,
you move up to a five, and you get the one in the Sweet 16. So it's, you know, not only do you get a low seeded Oklahoma State team, you then also would be moving on to the one seed, which of course is, well, it's my team that I picked to win the whole freaking thing. So, you know, one thing that I feel like I'm a little bit guilty of right now, and I think every year I warn people not to do, don't get over excited about teams that just won the conference tournament or too down on teams that had like a stinker in the conference tournament. A lot of times it doesn't work out. But I love Illinois. I think Illinois is amazing.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and I just – so that is – from that perspective, like if you're the Vols, you'd rather be the six in one of these regions because I think the ones are really good this year. And some years the ones and twos, there's not that big of a difference. This year I think there's a big separation between I think the top five, if I'm including Alabama. But even there's a separation, obviously. I mean, Gonzaga is the favorite, and they should be.
Would you say the potential second round matchup between Tennessee and Oklahoma State is essentially like a 3-6 level game, but because of how it turned out, it's a 4-5?
Yeah, that's true. You know, like Tennessee maybe bumps up a spot higher than we thought, Oklahoma State down a spot lower than we thought. So that's probably what it is. And it'd be great to, I tell you what, first of all, Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham is incredible, and I'd love to watch that game. Liberty, man, no one wants to play that crap because that's just UVA.
Yeah.
That's Virginia Light. It's it's their former assistant, and they play the just suffocate the life out of you and make your eyeballs hurt at home if you're watching the game. And like, so that's a team to watch as a potential top four seed that could be in a tough game is Oklahoma State against Liberty.
But their Oklahoma State is exactly the type of team that could go on a run here.
Sure.
Just based on Cunningham alone. Like, he is so good. I saw the second half of that Oklahoma State-Baylor game, and he just got rolling, and there was nothing they could do about it. I mean, he pulled up from three, he'd take it to the hole, he'd attract three guys to him and dish it off into the basket. I mean, this when that guy gets rolling, there's not much you can do about it, and if he gets hot, he can absolutely carry this team to like a Final Four run. Absolutely could.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's the number one pick. He's the number one pick for a reason. Big, great handle, incredible vision. Like you said, I mean, he can shoot the three. I mean, he's a good shooter, and he seems to have the clutch gene. And I agree. That's a team. I mean, every year, there are teams that could go on a run, and, oh, they just lost in the first round.
Yep.
And that could be this team. But, you know, the Vols, I think the Vols got a good – matchup here to start.
Agreed.
You know, Oregon State, incredible story to win the Pac-12 tournament. But, I mean, I think if Tennessee – and I think Tennessee can win that game without Fulkerson, and maybe then they get him back. But, like, if they were to play Cade Cunningham, I would be – that would be a fascinating defensive setup for Tennessee. I assume it's Josiah James for the most part,
yeah,
who would have to guard him. And I think that could be a heck of a matchup. Josiah James, we saw him get in foul trouble last game. That would be a thing to avoid there.
And when the brackets come out, at least me, I'm always looking at a 5-12 somewhere along the line. I don't know if Tennessee is the 5-12 that I'd pick for an upset in this particular matchup. But there's one you're very passionate about. That is Villanova and Winthrop, a 5-12 matchup. And Winthrop, I believe, 24-1 on the season this year.
The only problem I have with this is, like, everybody's talking about it. Yes. And so now it's like, maybe not. Yeah, I tell you what, UCSB over Creighton is another one.
Yeah.
Georgetown, red hot, you know. But yes, I mean, Colin Gillespie's out for Villanova. It's a big, big loss. And Winthrop, I mean, one loss. Now they're kind of like Belmont in that, you know, they didn't get to play these big non-league games, which helped their record. And by the way, I'm wearing I don't even know where I got this Belmont t-shirt, but I'm wearing this Belmont t-shirt in solidarity with Belmont. They got hosed.
They did.
Now, I'm not talking about the NCAA tournament. And Dick Vitale actually last night did say he thinks they should have been in. Good for him. And I would have loved to seen them in. But the fact that they didn't get in the NIT is a joke.
It's ridiculous.
Joke. And it's just garbage. They cut from 32 to 16. So they took away the rule. They've had this rule in place for a few years where if you win your conference in the regular season, you will be in the NIT. So I understand. You can't do that with everybody. You cannot tell me that Belmont should not have been one of the 16 teams involved in that tournament. And you go 26-4 this year. Last year, you win your league. Now this year, you go 26-4. Both years, you have no postseason. That is a raw deal.
It's a raw deal. A very tough pill to swallow for Casey Alexander and company, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later coming up here in the show. Let's introduce our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. And today's question is this: what is your approach to filling out your March Madness bracket every year? Do you go one bracket or do you go multiple brackets? Very early in the voting so far, 54% say they go multiple brackets, 46% say they just stick with the one bracket. Joe Rexroad, as a college basketball savant, what would be your approach to this?
Well, I used to be multi-bracket guy, trying to make money. I mean, look, I ran my whole high school thing. Like, I got the whole English department gambling. Yeah, I was pretty. I could call out some names right now from
phenomenal influence
from the early '90s who could be in trouble. And I used to be multi-bracket guy. But as I do this job now, I go with one and I stick with it, and I just do that. Because I tell you what, here's what people do with multi-bracket, and they mess up. A lot of people are like, okay, well, I'm going to have my chalk bracket, and then I'm going to have my super upset bracket. Well, you're not going to win with either of them.
You got to have a blend.
You have to be bold, and you just have to make the right choices. Like the super upset one and the super chalk one will both not win.
Right.
So So I'm single bracket guy now just because of my job, but I mean, I would probably throw. I used to throw like 2-3 different ones in.
Well, I've thrown as many as 6. I think one time.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Now what I do now is I fill out one bracket and I just enter it multiple times into several different things.
Well, that's not the same thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's one bracket.
Right.
Yeah, you're a one bracket guy then.
If you do that. But I've evolved. I used to be a probably way too many brackets at that point.
Like, if you do that, Robbie, and you fill out a perfect bracket, then you could win all the pools, all the millions of dollars.
Could be a very great day for me.
Right.
Yeah. It's, yeah, if you have one you really love, spread it around.
What's the deepest that y'all have made it with a perfect bracket?
Day two.
That's the deepest I've made it with.
I don't even know that I've done that. I mean, honestly, I don't know.
It's
that
so hard.
Yeah. Maybe.
Well,
but,
and the ones that get you are the toss up, the coin flip 8, 9, and 7, 10
yeah.
games.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that can get you.
They can, but I mean, a lot of what gets you is the
picking the wrong 5-12,
or just
right.
Well, or just Middle Tennessee beats Michigan State, or UVA
UMBC.
Loses. Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, then no one has that, right? So, yeah,
be,
I don't know.
Be careful, UMBC.
I don't
they
know.
Might come after you.
I think the last time I won a pool, I think this is still true. Unless in the last couple of years, I might have won a work pool because you know we do those small ones. 1994. Okay,
been that long.
And
I was two.
I was rushing. It was St. Patrick's Day, rushing to the bar, and I had to fill it out in 5 seconds, and I won.
So zero thought to it whatsoever.
Zero thought to it. I mean, you know who wins these?
I know.
It's. I mean, come on. It's kids who pick on uniforms.
Yeah.
So,
but frustrating.
It's still worth trying to dig in on the numbers. You get in that KenPom.com. You know. Look at those efficiency numbers if you want.
Yeah, put the best effort forward. Consult Joe Rexroad and Elijah Campbell on your brackets. That's what we've learned on the program.
Well, we watch college basketball all the time. We love it, and we would end up like low, probably both in our like office pool.
I'm a little scared that Joe has picked Illinois.
Why? Really? Why is that your pick too?
Because I picked Illinois, and I'm a little scared that Joe picked Illinois.
Oh,
yeah, you probably should be.
And everybody on TV last night was picking Illinois.
Nobody's bold enough to pick Gonzaga. Maybe I will be.
Well, most people are still going to pick Gonzaga, right?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Neither one of you
do. Yeah. Illinois is definitely the real popular second choice.
They are the sexy team right now.
Yeah. They're freaking good, though.
They are. They're pretty good. I mean, justified number one seed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, but yeah, it'll end up, I mean, this is the year, too, that it'll be like Tennessee. You know, I mean, it'll be totally random. It'll be a 6 seed.
It's going to be fun. I look forward to this time of year every year, and I have not filled out the bracket yet, but I will probably by either the end of the day or early tomorrow. So I'll let you know who I pick. We'll see how that goes.
Are we going to have some kind of, like, we could have the three
of us. We'll
come
up with something, yeah. We'll come up with something, do a little competition of sorts, and you can play the Game Bracket Challenge on thegamenashville.com. So make sure you check that out as well. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. A tough showing on Saturday against Tampa Bay. They're back at it again today. And could this week finally be the week where maybe some moves start to get made? We'll discuss that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. How'd you like to watch the Preds game in style? Make sure you're tuning in later on in the show as we reveal a keyword for you to text into the game line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Homegate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. And we'll have that opportunity for you a little bit later here in the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And speaking of the Nashville Predators, another tough loss for the Predators over the weekend. They fall 6-3 at the hands of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Had a good comeback attempt in the third period where they were able to scratch and claw and get it to 4-3 at one point. But Tampa Bay adds two more towards the end of the game, including an empty netter to make it a 6-3 win. Now the Predators, Joe, 11-16-1 on the season. They'll be back at it again today. A 3 o'clock game time today for the Predators against the Tampa Bay Lightning. 2 o'clock pregame here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So a little matinee afternoon hockey on weekday today on the road.
It's kind of like March Madness-ish.
Yeah. A
little bit, huh? It's that kind of week.
It is. And Tampa Bay, I mean, we've talked about the lineup the Predators are dealing with right now, and maybe some good news coming on that front. Could have UC Saros back relatively soon, so would be good to see him back in net, and we'll see if that happens, if Pekka can start to get some rest, because he's been playing every game since then, since Soros has gone out with injury. But Tampa Bay, just too much firepower in that game the other night. I mean, you look at especially like Braden Point and the goal that he scored the other night, where he's just going coast to coast and just comes down, and all of a sudden he is just all over people. And just, it was like a fadeaway jump shot that he threw out there. It was amazing. Braden Point is just unbelievable. But Tampa Bay, I mean, they're just on a different level. And we've seen what the Predators have looked like this year with a completely healthy lineup against Tampa Bay. And when you have as many rookies as they have in the lineup right now, it's just it's going to be tough to overcome that. Tampa Bay on the FanDuel Sportsbook, a heavy favorite today against the Nashville Predators.
What are those numbers?
I think the last time I looked, the odds were like minus 330. For Tampa Bay, which is a
350.
350 now. So
don't see that a lot in pro sports.
Don't see that a lot. That's a gigantic favorite.
I thought the Preds played really hard the other night.
I did too.
Like, yeah, they had. I thought they had nothing to be ashamed of in terms of their effort. For whatever that's worth, they fought.
They fought. And look, I think that's been true for the most part this year. I've not really questioned their effort. But here they are. Like I said, you're 11-16-1. You're 28 games into the season. Right now, you're 10 points out of the last playoff spot for Chicago, and you're probably not catching them. You're certainly not catching Florida and Tampa Bay and Carolina at this point. Like, the Predators are 17 points behind the Florida Panthers, who are in third place right now. So your playoff hopes are gone at this point. I wonder if this could be the week that maybe you start to see some movement on the trading front. The rumors are starting to pile up, as they do a lot of times this year. We've heard about scouts being in Boston watching the Bruins. We've heard about scouts being in Philadelphia watching some Flyers players and some prospects play. So that it's this time of the year when you get closer to the trade deadline where the rumor season starts to fly around, and some of it, I'm sure, is accurate. Some of it is not accurate. But it feels like we're getting close to the point, maybe even as soon as this week, where some moves, not only with the Predators, but league-wide, may start to happen.
So my Ekholm Flyers shot.
Could be.
Maybe looking a little bit.
If they get a first-round pick and Morgan Frost in return for Matthias Ekholm,
yeah,
I'm going to start feeling better about that Illinois pick then.
Yeah. It'd be a heck of a call by Joe Rexroth.
It would be.
Would you feel better about the Preds' future? Is that enough for Ekholm?
Depends on what kind of a player Morgan Frost turns out to be.
Well, I'll say this.
I mean, he looks good.
The Flyers still may not make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, the Flyers have been struggling, and that pick would probably be in the higher teens or low 20s and not, you know, towards 30 or 31 or now 32 yeah. With the Kraken.
Yeah, you want to trade with a team you know is really good. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because, like,
maybe Ekholm turns it all around for him.
Well, the two teams that I just mentioned were Boston and Philadelphia, and those are the two kind of fighting it out right now, along with the Rangers in the East. And that is, I mean, Boston's got the four spot right now with 32 points. Philadelphia's at 29 points. They've both played 25 games. So they're right there kind of on the line together. But right now, to Port's point, Philly would not be in the playoffs. So maybe they feel like Ekholm is the guy that could bring you over the top. Or maybe if you're Boston, you're trying to keep Ekholm away from Philadelphia or Washington in this as well. So that's what you're hoping for if you're the Predators.
Get them fighting.
Get them fighting each other. Get them into a bidding war and maximize the value of your return if that's the route you end up deciding to go. But I wonder, like, Ekholm's one thing. Like, we'll see what happens there. Like, I wonder how close they are to guys like Granlund and Richardson and Halla potentially being on the move.
And again, we've talked about this a lot, but this week, I guess, would this week be early unless it's a Canadian team?
I mean, maybe. It depends. Like,
I guess not necessarily, but like that would be more likely to happen now, right?
Yeah.
One of those teams if you're talking to any of them.
Well, for instance,
just because of the time.
Granlund has been heavily rumored for Toronto. Like, Toronto apparently has a lot of interest in Granlund. Like, if you want to make a move on Granlund and get him situated in your top six or top nine, wherever you decide to put him, probably don't want to wait too much longer if you're Toronto. I mean, it's March the 15th today. 2 weeks of quarantine already puts him March 30th around there where he'd be playing. So if you're a Canadian team, probably not waiting too much longer if you're going to start making some of these moves.
Well, even if you're not a Canadian team, this is about the time of year in terms of games remaining where the typical trade deadline is. So if teams want the 20 games left to be able to incorporate a new player, even if it isn't, you know, a player crossing the border, feel like that would be a pretty smart move.
Why does Toronto covet Granlund to that extent, or reportedly covet him to that extent?
Well, I think he's a guy that could play on their first line with Austin Matthews if you need him to. He could also play on your third line. I think it's just depth that they need. And right now, I mean, they've started to fade a little bit. I mean, they're still a really good team. They're in first place in the division. They were the best team in the league, and now they're, I think, eighth in points percentage. So they've fallen off the table a little bit. So maybe you get him in there.
They need a boost.
Spark. Yeah, and look, I think Granlund would be a popular guy. Like, I'm not sure how much value a Halla is going to have. Or
he scored
Richardson.
The other night.
He did score the other night. Like, I think the Predators will be able to trade him, but you're not getting a ton back for Eric Halla or Brad Richardson. But Granlund, I think, is a guy, even on an expiring contract, you'd probably get a second-round pick. So I wonder if this week could be a week where some of those guys on expiring deals may start to go.
Yeah, it's and in the meantime, so, you know, you get this team fighting and you know, the interest, of course, in what's happening on a nightly basis on the ice falls off,
yeah.
including from media, which was kind of interesting. That stuff I saw on Twitter the other night about, you know, the post game and stuff like that. And these guys, you know, we saw Ryan Johansson with Kara Hammer last week. You know, it's sort of like, it's like everyone's in limbo until something like this happens now, right?
Right.
And, of course, these guys, I mean, they can't think of anything else, just like John Hines said, than today, what are we doing?
Let's go play. Win?
Can we get a win? You know, what? And that cannot be easy. You can sit there and say, yeah, you just block it out. Block it out, you do, but, you know. If you know the outside world has basically moved on from you and what you're doing, there's no way that's easy.
When we come back, a quarterback made it official yesterday in regards to his future with the New Orleans Saints. We'll discuss that and ask the question, was he perhaps the greatest free agent signing in the history of the NFL? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing the NFL at the moment. We're going to do that for the next few segments here on the show, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And Joe, some big news yesterday in the NFL. It was made official by Drew Brees, and we anticipated that this could be the case, and now that we know it is, Drew Brees announcing his retirement from the NFL, spent 15 years with the New Orleans Saints, 20 years in the NFL as a total, and a Super Bowl champion in New Orleans, and either at the top of the list or near the top of the list in pretty much every passing statistical category that's out there. So I don't think a huge surprise that Drew Brees has decided to hang it up after, you know, reports after they lost against Tampa Bay in the playoffs and the way that he was kind of acting after the game and looking back at the field and just kind of soaking everything up. Not a huge surprise when it comes to Drew Brees announcing his retirement. But now that he's done it, Joe, what's your reaction to it, and what is the legacy of Drew Brees specifically in his time with the Saints?
Well, first of all, let me rip Drew Brees, okay?
Okay.
Dude.
Why are you pushing a sled?
What? No, why are you news dumping this during the bracket? What are we doing here? You don't love your Boilermakers on the hardwood?
Apparently not.
Like, what a weird time to tell us, you know? Like, I mean, this is a pretty big sports moment. So that, very strange. And yes, I did get kind of excited when I saw the sled thing. I was like, you know what? One more year, he was hurt this year. Give it one more go. There's no way that the arm punting we saw last year is who he really is. And then he ends up bailing. So no, good. Look, incredible career. I've had a soft spot for Drew Brees. I covered him in college. Okay, which tells you how old both of us are. I've always marveled at him because this is a guy who. He was a pretty big kind of recruit out of Texas, but not huge. And he comes to Purdue to that brand new spread offense with these things called bubble screens that Joe Tiller and offensive visionary Jim Chaney are putting together up there. I tell you what, that offense absolutely took the Big Ten by storm. People had no idea what to do with that stuff. And then to see what he did, I mean, like San Diego or the Chargers, but you know, it was San Diego back then, they didn't realize what they had.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thing. First of all, one of the greatest free agent signings, absolutely. I mean, what an incredible run it's been for New Orleans with him. The average Chargers fan, would they like to go back and – I mean, Phillip Rivers had an incredible career too. I mean, yeah. He had massive numbers, but he never won one, and Drew Brees won one. So if you're a Chargers fan, would you go back and keep him forever?
Most probably would.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard some people, though, say otherwise. But regardless, what a career. And what a – it's too bad. They had – some teams that could have won it. And the fact that they got kept out of the Super Bowl by probably the worst call in NFL history is part of this too. And then, you know, like the Vikings Hail Mary play a few years ago.
They've had some brutal losses.
Incredible.
In the postseason.
They built a championship team and didn't win it, and that's tough.
It is tough. He does get the one Super Bowl. And I was wondering, you know, when you saw the videos of him pushing the sled around, maybe he would be coming back. I don't know. But now I guess we just know Drew Brees likes working out, likes pushing sleds around. So hopefully that serves him well. He stays in good shape.
He'll be fit for his retirement.
As he moves forward
good
here.
Good to know, Drew.
We've heard people say not only is it the greatest free agent signing in NFL history, but maybe the greatest free agent signing in the history of sports. When you factor in, he comes, he wins a championship in New Orleans, and just everything both on the field and especially off the field that Drew Brees meant to that city. I mean, you're talking about a connection between a city and a quarterback that is pretty special when it comes to, you know, the modern day NFL. He's done a lot there for the community of New Orleans. When you hear something like that, maybe the greatest free agent signing in the history of sports, like, you know, we don't have all of them right in front of us right now, but, you know, you think about like LeBron signing in LA or signing in Miami or signing back in Cleveland. Like, there's a bunch of free agent signings, especially in the NBA, that I think you could point to.
Yeah, that came up, yeah.
But the NFL, I mean, I thought of this one. I thought of Peyton Manning signing with Denver. And I guess now we got to put your boy Brady signing with Tampa Bay in there as well. But those three are three that immediately came to mind to me, all at the quarterback position.
Yeah, the first thing when you said that, I thought of LeBron. You know, you think of Kevin Durant, too,
yep.
You know, with the Warriors. Maybe we'll be talking about the Brooklyn Nets. That's an interesting one, you know. Yeah, I think Peyton Manning for sure is up there because you have to have a championship out of it, right?
Sure.
Steve Nash going from Dallas to Phoenix is a huge one. Now what about in hockey? How about Brett Hull to the Stars?
Yeah.
You know, there's one. There's a lot of baseball ones, too, right? I mean, I talked about one last week. You get a title right away when my beloved Kirk Gibson goes from the Tigers to the Dodgers. I mean, there's a lot of – what about your Packers and Charles Woodson?
Yeah, that's up there. But the quarterback gets elevated.
Shaq to the Lakers?
Pretty good.
I mean, you know, there's a lot – that's a big, big category. That's a great category. But, yeah, Reggie Jackson to the Yankees. That's a pretty good one. Back in the early days of free agency. I'm now looking on the internet and searching these things. So I'm not
– just wrap them off.
Don't get it fooled. I'm not completely just pulling these out of my head here. But, yeah, LeBron comes – I mean, gosh, Barry Bonds. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Barry Bonds, one of the Giants. A lot of great ones, but yeah, Drew Brees, I think you're right in terms of you have such a – like a lot of these are quick, like LeBron goes to Miami, wins a couple, goes somewhere else.
Right.
Drew Brees.
15 years.
And Katrina and all this stuff, yeah. The fact that you – there aren't – I don't think a ton of free agent signings where you have that kind of longevity afterward because usually you've had a really good run somewhere. He had a good run and they didn't appreciate what he was with the Chargers.
Yeah.
And so from that perspective, it's a very unique one. Also, this could have been Drew Brees keeping Nick Saban the heck away from Alabama forever, and Tennessee would have like three more natties right now. So really, thanks a lot, Drew Brees.
I know. It's one of those things. It's interesting. There are three franchises that are either – they've either had him and they're happy that they've had him, or they're asking like what could have been. Like the Chargers maybe gave up on him too soon, thought the physical wouldn't be passed, his shoulder was done, and he couldn't play anymore. Did not pass the physical with the Dolphins. Maybe Nick Saban stays there, and who knows what the story looks like right now with Nick Saban and Alabama. And then, of course, New Orleans, the place he ends up going. And to your point, I mean, the on-the-field success and the marriage between him and Sean Payton and how well that's gone, it speaks for itself. I mean, really productive offenses, one of the best teams in the league while he's been the quarterback there. Obviously, the Super Bowl as well. But just everything off the field, too, with Katrina and how involved he was in that community. I think that, when you're there 15 years, that's why I would put it over Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton Manning was great in Denver until he was pretty much done at that point. But, I mean, statistically, was awesome in Denver. Probably top-level Peyton Manning in Denver was better than top-level Drew Brees was at New Orleans at any point. But the longevity, I think, has got to count for something, too.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, it's like you think of New Orleans Saints football. And I know you think of Archie Manning, but that was also when people wore bags over their heads every year because they were awful, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who else do you think of over the years? I mean, it's
Aaron
him.
Brooks.
There you go.
Drew Brees.
You know?
Ditka. I mean,
Ditka, yeah. I was actually thinking about Ditka, like, oh, man. But, yeah, I mean, he's New Orleans Saints football. It's too bad that, in general, we lose him. I did want to see one more shot at it. Because that team should have won a title.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
So what's next for him? Commentating? Think he's going to be a good football commentator?
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. But people who think – I think actually he was an underrated quarterback for most of his career until we figure out who he was. And he's probably an overrated incoming announcer.
Probably.
He's not going to be Romo. Everybody wants someone to be the next Romo. He's not going to be the next Romo. But I'm sure he'll do it and it'll be fine. By the way, I've told you this story, I know, but, you know, I watched a top five ranked Nick Saban NFL player loaded defense give up like 500 some yards to Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Including this dude named Chris Daniels had like 300 receiving yards in one game. So,
pretty good.
I think Nick Saban would have taken him if he could have gotten
probably
him in Miami.
So. Yeah. Probably would have definitely remembered Drew Brees in that part. So, congratulations to Drew Brees from the Saints on a great career, and we'll see what the next step is for him in retirement now that it's been made official. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the NFL. The legal negotiating window beginning today in the NFL. Some moves already have been made. Could there be any on the horizon for Titans fans? We'll discuss that coming up. But right now, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel, and there's always that one team that can ruin your bracket. And this year, I'm betting the tournament on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, because on FanDuel, your first bet is risk-free. It doesn't matter if you're betting a 16 seed or a 1 seed. New users can get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel's got odds on all the action with games day and night, an easy-to-use app, multiple deposits and fast withdrawals, always on promotions. Your next chance to win with FanDuel is only minutes away. And if that's not enough, FanDuel wants to make you a millionaire. Yes, you. That means they're giving away $1 million to one lucky bettor, and new and existing users get an additional shot at the payout every day you bet on the tourney. So if you want a shot at becoming a millionaire or even a thousandaire, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply for $1 million drawing. A risk-free offer for first online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.